to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Upcycle Canada podcast. Happy to be here with you again, Dave. I have a guest. Stacey Grinsfelder is on. Stacey is a podcaster, a blogger. She's on YouTube. And on her website, she shares great videos on how to renovate and restore an old house. Her house is built in 1885. She shares great stories about what it's like to repurpose and rebuild and revitalize this old building, give it new life, fits really well with Upcycle Canada. And there's a great story at the end she shares about a desk, an SUV, and a long walk home. I hope you enjoy the podcast. And please head over to the show notes. They're included here in the app that you're listening to or online. Click the links and go over in and give Stacey a listen to her podcast as well. Super inspiring. Very happy to have Stacey Grinsfelder here on the Upcycle Canada podcast. Hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I have a new inspiration that I get to chat with today. Stacey is with me. Stacey is revitalizing old homes, but more than that, she's a podcaster, a blogger. She's an inspiration. And if you want to get a picture of what Stacey does, take HGTV, DIY Network, Magnolia, put all those in a blender and make it better. You have Stacey. And that's what she's offering with us today. And she's on the podcast. Welcome, Stacey, to the podcast. So glad to have you here. How are you?
Well, thank you, Dave. It's nice to be here. And that was quite an introduction. I don't use a sledgehammer at all in my work, unlike network DIY television shows. But I know they're certainly inspiring for a lot of people out there working on their own homes.
It is amazing. I've been going through your content. We chatted before we hit record. You did a video series on redoing your daughter's bedroom, and you had me through the whole thing. I loved it. I love the end results too. I love seeing the next generation be inspired to repurpose and to salvage and recreate their space. And that's what you do so well on your channel and on your website as well. I love your YouTube channel, by the way. The visuals that you walk us around your home. You bring us inside and you kind of explain things really easily for viewers. I'm excited to be part of your community and I'm excited to get a chance to talk to you today. It's really fun.
Well, thank you. Thank you. YouTube is something that has been developing over time. It's always one of those things that I want to nurture more. And as one person doing this, you know how it is. You just can't do everything the way you want to do it all the time. But hopefully I'll have some more content there. Or keep the content coming, and the podcast is always there as well.
So you're living in a house that was built, I believe you said 1885, is that correct?
That's correct.
So there's a lot of history. I'm a history guy, so you got me there, right, with that alone. Can you tell me a little bit about the area around your home and your home in particular? Any interesting historical facts that you've kind of uncovered by living there? I'd love to kind of hear a little bit about just the area and the neighborhood where you're in as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I am very much in the country. I am in a very small town and my house sits on 1 acre of property, but it used to be part of an entire estate. It was built in 1885 by a man it was built as a summer house. His name was John C. Bryant. He had a summer house as well, and he built our house for his daughter, you know, because rich people did rich people things back then and built summer houses for their children. And so they were all coming from Buffalo, New York. So most people would live in the city of Buffalo. They would come to where I live now to spend the summer, which of course now for me takes 15 minutes to get there. But for them, you know, it was probably a half a day's horse ride or whatnot, just to get to this area. So he built this house for his daughter, and then she got married immediately and never lived in it. She immediately left the area and moved, I believe, with her husband to Virginia, because again, that's what women did at that time. Whenever they got married, they went where their husband lived, the family or wherever he wanted to go. So the house was sold, and it was sold to, I don't actually know his name, but he owned the Bank of Aurora was the name of, he was a banker, and he bought it and lived here, and it really became his home. And then he built the third home that's on the estate. So there are actually three of them, and I can see one out my front window, and I can walk around a corner, like up the street and take a left, and I can see the third one that was built as part of three in this one particular family. And I guess there were other houses on the estate, smaller places, particularly a kitchen. I most recently found out that this house that I live in didn't have a kitchen. It has a kitchen space. It had a stove, a place for people to warm up food, that sort of thing. But the actual cooking was done in a different location. And then they just would bring it over. And I assume it was part of a whole, they probably ate dinner together in one house or another. I don't know, because I do not live that way, Dave. That is not the way I live my life.
No? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Eventually it became a year-round residence. And I think, and although I think the history is very fascinating, one of the most interesting things to me is that the couple who lived here before we bought it were actually here. They moved in the early 1960s, and they lived here until they both passed away. I think the husband preceded her in death by about 12 to 15 years. And it's a big house. It has six bedrooms. I think they expected that they were going to fill it with children, and they didn't end up having any children. And so they lived here as a couple from probably their, you know, for years and years. So the house didn't undergo a lot of change between the 60s and when we bought it, which was wonderful. Yeah. You know, a lot of times when houses turn over, the first thing people want to do is tear out the kitchen, tear out the bathrooms. And then that just kind of repeats itself over and over again. So that's why you'll get a house that's, you know, was maybe built in the 60s, but then it'll have an 80s kitchen, and then it will have the 2000s kitchen, and then it will have the modern. So that's one of those things that didn't happen with this house. And I think we feel really fortunate about that. So I kind of went around and around that question. I don't know if I kind of got to the heart of it, but.
Speaking of the heart of it, the heart of your home is your kitchen. And that is, like you said, the one thing is gets remodeled quite often, that kitchens and bathrooms, right, all the time. But to see that that was left intact for the most part, it's exciting for you. Did you find anything unique while you were kind of working your way through the home? And you're like, well, that's different.
Yeah, well, I do have to make a correction, because we did put a kitchen in, and I'll tell you why. The reason why is because, as I said, this previously, it was built without a kitchen. And we discovered that, honestly, when we took the old kitchen out. But the old kitchen was not, it was done piece by piece, probably like there was a cabinet from the 30s and there was a cabinet from the 40s and a cabinet from the 60s. So it didn't fit in at all with the 1885 house, you know, so it was very, very different. Now, for me, aesthetics alone is not a reason to take something out, because I can live with, I don't like to just keep on updating or buying new things. You know, I'm more interested in using what I have and taking good care of what I have. But in this case, it was not a functioning kitchen. We didn't have proper electricity. We didn't have proper appliances for family life. You know, if you're considering that this woman lived here with her husband alone since the 1960s, and then eventually she was all by herself for 12 to 15 years, you know, she didn't need things like microwaves. She didn't need things. She just, and we couldn't, it was a non-functioning kitchen for the most part, for a modern family. So we did end up putting in sort of a sympathetic looking kitchen to that goes with the house. And we do, I really like it. But to go back to that, when we took all those things out, and there wasn't much in the kitchen, it was very little cabinetry or anything like that. And there were no signs of cabinets or anything in the space, which was kind of what tipped us off to the fact that this is really strange. There was evidence of a stove, but that was it. And then most recently, I found out, of course, that the kitchen was in a separate building altogether. And it all makes sense now.
I can't imagine having my kitchen in another location. Like at 3 a.m. when you want that snack, you'd have to go for a walk down the street. That'd be quite interesting, yeah. You know? So yes, you need that fridge for those late night snacks for sure.
Right. Well, I have teenage boys and they would agree with you because I'm not sure that any of them, they're up all night getting snacks, those two.
So one arm of all the great content that you're creating for your community, one arm is your podcast, 8 seasons now that you're into. Can you tell me a little bit about your podcast journey and how this kind of ties back to this 1885 house and that kind of bridge mm-hmm. with your community as well?
Sure. Well, we've got 8 seasons, about 80. We're closing in on our 90th episode at some point. And it all started really because when I moved into this house, I got deeply involved with restoring it and preserving it and learning about it and honoring it. And it's kind of a joke between my husband and I because he was the one who really wanted this house and he kind of had to talk me into it. And then as soon as I was here, I was all in. Nice. And I talked about it and I talked about it and I talked about it. And he said to me, and I'd started the blog immediately. That was 2014. And he said, you know, you really just need somebody else to talk to about this because you're kind of wearing me out, Stacy, which is a little bit familiar. We have a really good time together, but he's right. I did a little bit of too much talking. And it got me thinking that I thought, I like what I'm doing, but what I really want to do is talk to other people about what they're doing. And so I thought naively, I'm going to just start a podcast. That can't be hard, right? All I have to do is talk into a microphone. Well, I don't know how you found the process, Dave, but there's a little bit more to it than that.
Yes. Yes.
And so I started and I thought, gosh, I'm really not that good at this. Like, this is very, very hard. And I had a pretty decent following on Instagram. So I got a lot of people to come on my podcast on Instagram and from Instagram rather. And I thought that I was going to make this sort of NPR style show with like tons of editing and it was going to be highly polished. And I like to think we kind of have made our way and met that goal in the middle, at least better, certainly better than where we started. But I quickly figured out that as a one-woman show, that wasn't going to happen. So, But then the more I talked to people, the more I realized how much I wanted to bring people together. You know, I would talk to people who were in the academic side of preservation, and they would be saying, they seemed to not have as much knowledge of the trades side of preservation. And then I would talk to tradespeople who were kind of convinced that the academics didn't understand them. And it went vice versa. It went both ways. And I thought, you know, what we really need to be doing is we all have the same goal. We all want to preserve these old houses. We all want to do the work on them to maintain them and keep them in our communities. So we have to work together. And I felt like sometimes the homeowners, they were getting messages like, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong over and over and over again. And that really wears you down. So I kind of took my role as the host to, I understand that everybody's chapter one is different. And I try to meet people in that space because I do think there are more correct ways to do things. I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say, you know, you're doing it wrong, but there are some best practices when it comes to working with old materials and old houses. And so I like to try to bring all those people together. So there's an educational component of the show and there's an entertainment component of the show. And, you know, then I get to talk about the projects that are happening here at Blake Hill House. And it kind of wraps it all up in one little package. And we call it, you know, the podcast for people who love old houses. And that's pretty much exactly what it is.
It's a wonderful podcast as well. And you can access it through YouTube, but you can also access it through your website. And you've built, again, an amazing website for your community. What I love is when you come to the website to listen to the podcast, you have a choice of the categories that you might be interested in. So if you want to, you want something about the house, the old houses, you can look at DIY ideas. Like you can pick from a menu of podcasts that serves you as a listener. It's a great way to build it. And you've definitely thought about your community as you've been creating this for people. And I really enjoy that. What have you learned about yourself as a podcaster? What have you taught yourself?
Oh, gosh, nobody's ever asked me that question before. Well, as a podcaster, and you can probably relate to this too, there's a lot of just sticking with it, just being consistent and working hard to get better and putting those difficult interviews or difficult situations behind you and just moving forward. You know, not everything's a winner. Some days your technology doesn't work. Some days you're tired or your guest is tired or something. It's just a matter of believing, I guess. I believe in the content and I believe in this mission of bringing people together and helping everybody work together. And so I just think I keep that in mind whenever I create a show, is that it's for the listener. It's not for me. You know, it's for the listener. I get a lot of enjoyment out of what I do, but it is really for the old house owner who's struggling, or the old house owner who just wants to laugh or learn something or whatnot. So I've been doing this for 4 years now. So I think those lessons in the beginning, I've tried to kind of put them out of my mind, because that was a really hard time getting started and making all kinds of mistakes and having sound issues. And so now it's just, I guess, about moving forward. I'm the type of person who just likes to move forward and keep moving in a positive direction.
It's great. And so between the blog and the podcast, you've been building community around your theme and around what you're doing. Tell me a little bit about your community. What are you learning about them? What are they coming to you for? And maybe a little bit of the feedback that you're getting from your community as you create all this content around old houses.
Sure. Well, I have a lot of my community is women. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I have certain groups of people who follow me. A lot of those are women. And most of the feedback that I get over time is that they like to ask me questions because they know I won't make them feel stupid. Yes. That's the most common thing that people say, is they say, you know, we like to come to you and ask you things because we know that you're just going to give us the answer. You're not going to kind of place a judgment on that answer or anything like that. And that's really how I feel about my community, because we have all had questions, women or not, that we didn't want to ask for fear of being, because we thought it was a dumb question, or for fear of being perceived as ignorant or dumb or whatever. Sorry, I'm using all these words I don't let my children use, but the purpose of the community, I guess, at this point, I think, all right, maybe I'm like your aunt. Maybe I'm like, you know, just a trustworthy neighbor, someone that you feel that you can come to and ask me about things. And it might be, sometimes it's really simple. You know, I talk about window restoration a lot. I do a ton of content on wood window restoration. And sometimes we get really, really in depth. You know, we'll just go into the details because some people are ready for that. And then I'll have someone who, the most common question I get is, you know, what if you take a window out, what do you put over the hole? And I get that question all the time. And I'm so glad, you know, that the hundreds of times that I've asked that, and by the way, it's plastic or plywood, but that over the number of times that people have asked me that, I'm thrilled that they continue to ask me that. I'm happy that they just go for it. So I've learned from my audience that they're so willing, and they want to learn, and they want to do, and they're very open to being educated about some of these topics that they're not as familiar with. Because sometimes, you know, people come into old house ownership in different ways. Some people are, you know, they'll say, oh, I'm an old soul. I've liked old houses since I was little. I grew up in an old house. And other people come into it and they say, basically, this is the house that I could afford. And now I live in a wreck and I don't know what to do. You know, these are two very different trains of thought. And it's, you know, going back to that chapter one. Everybody's chapter one looks different.
I love the videos that you did around the window restoration and replacing the glass and Like, I'm taking notes as I'm watching this going, wow, this is really well done. Like, how long does a typical how-to video take for you to create from the concept to the finished recording? Kind of a little behind the scenes of that for us as a community. I'm kind of curious about how that works.
Right. Well, a very long time, thus the fact that I don't have nearly as much YouTube content up as I would like to have. But I recently, you know, I was shooting everything myself, which got really, really tricky because even with remotes, you know, and an iPhone or my big camera or whatever, there's take one, take two, take 45, whatnot. Yeah. And then there's editing. And so it can take a long time. And it depends on what type of video we're doing. If I'm doing for social media, you know, the attention span for social media is a lot shorter. So I'm trying to nail down all the details in 2 minutes or less. And that can get tricky. You know, sometimes I think, oh gosh, I can't leave that out. And I am not known for my brevity. So that is an issue for me. But I'll try to leave out certain things just for the sake of getting the big picture content. And then YouTube, of course, there's more time to kind of go into the little details. And one thing that really helped me is that I actually did hire my daughter to do some filming for me. She's a teenager and I do pay her. And I like to make that clear because I don't like using my children on social media or in my business for the sake of content, you know. So she's really great. She's good at video, really helpful. And that cut down a lot of the time it takes me to video and to create create a YouTube video or something for social media. But her education does come first, and she's not always available. So we'll keep working on it.
Nice. And I love that you mentioned that you pay her as well. That's really nice for her. We talked again. You talked about your kids and your content. I did really enjoy the videos of your daughter's bedroom makeover. I love the desk that you redid. I love the mural on the wall, and we'll have links in the show notes for people to go watch. And then the cupboard that you repurposed from the basement, I think you said. You brought it up to the bedroom.
Yes.
And remade it. What does it mean to you as a parent to see your kids show interest in restoring and reviving things from the past? Does that kind of fuel you up a little bit to see them interested?
It definitely does. It absolutely does. I love working with my kids on things. Now, there's a bit of a gap between my daughter, who's in that video, and her brothers. So her brothers are older. They've kind of moved on a little bit to a certain extent. So she and I end up spending a lot of time together, which is why sometimes there is some content. And I love showing her how to use the saw. And I love hearing that her come up with good ideas, like, how about we do this? Or how about we do that? And it's very rewarding because I see her can-do attitude forming, and I feel really good about the fact that when she's sometime on her, or when she's out on her own, just like her brothers, the idea will be to fix something, not to replace something. And that's really kind of my overall goal with them, because I think it's important. You know, we just can't keep using everything and buying up and sucking the earth dry just for our own needs. You know, we have to make do with what we have sometimes. And it's important. It's important to know how to do that and for that to be the first response, not the last response.
But I love how you kind of tied that into the Upcycle Canada podcast. Well done, because we're all about extending the life of something even beyond its purpose and giving it a new life, thus keeping it from the landfill and reducing our need to buy new all the time and honoring the history of the piece that we're working with, whether it be an old piano or something that a piece of furniture that can't be repaired, repurposing and giving it that new life. That's what we're all about. And you've already alluded to that, and your content really does support that. And really, for anyone in our community that looking to be inspired, you definitely need to go over and check out Stacy's content, because, again, I'm a huge fan and I've been learning a lot just following along on the journey. The one thing I love that you do is you do a lot of the before and after and the journey of creating something and repurposing it and the work that goes into it. As a creator, we seem to jump to the end all the time. and just show the finished product, and people are like, great. But if we could show you kind of how we got from where we found it on the side of the road to your daughter's bedroom as a desk, I love that you kind of bring people along on that journey. Because I think people will be inspired more by seeing the process and not just the end result. So I love that you're building that into your community. You're getting some response from people when they kind of follow along with you.
Yeah, they do. I think people appreciate sometimes, and this is kind of my anti-network television, or I guess cable television feeling sometimes. You know how you get this 30 minutes of here's a wreck and here it is perfect and there's not enough in between. And I really like to share that gritty, dirty in between so people can see that these things take longer than a half an hour. And I do get that response. You know, some people really do just want to come to my blog and see the pretty things. And I'll say, you know, if I do a room reveal or some kind of reveal, I'll get way more people reading it than I will those ugly middle bits that I'm also writing about. However, I do get most of the feedback on those middle parts where people say, thanks for showing that because I didn't understand how you got from side of the road desk, dumpster desk to where I'm going back to my daughter's room. She has a desk. We got it actually on the side of the road and then we brought it home. And I guess I would say it's a transformation.
Yes.
But most people really just like to see, you know, how did you get from one place to another? So
that's great. Okay. So before I let you go, you've been very gracious with your time today. I'm curious for a listener or a viewer that's doesn't have an older home, but they love the aesthetics. They love the beauty of an older home. They have a newer home, but they want to bring some of that in. I've heard you on other podcasts for home staging and all that. How can I bring a little bit of history into a newer home so that I can kind of bring that feeling into my space? Any tips for me as a viewer, as a listener?
Sure. Well, there's always, I think every home can, or every room and every space looks a little more lived in and homey with some sort of antique in it. So you might actually find out more about your area. If your house is new, maybe your area has a unique history of we created pottery here or something interesting that your area is known for. And maybe you can bring in some antiques or some items that are related to that history of the area where you live. A lot of people do add things like, you know, they beef up their crown molding or they add sort of panel molding everywhere. And I think that's a way. I think people have to be kind of careful with adding in things that are so different than their house because it kind of creates a disconnect. You know, you're outside and you're in this, you see the house and then you walk in and you think, wow, where did I go? You know, am I in Italy now or am I...
Yeah.
So I think there's a certain amount of that you can bring into some of the older details or details from old houses that you can bring into your newer house. But I guess I think more along the lines of the things, the furnishings, the soft goods, the things that make your house feel like home to you. I think that's where you have a lot of leeway and room to just be creative, be flexible. And, you know, I'm all for the trash finds. I've found several things that people are throwing out in the trash and I've brought in, cleaned up, redone.
Yeah.
And
yeah. You're like, hey, just pull over. Yeah.
Yes.
My wife and I do that quite often. Yeah. That's amazing.
I actually have a funny story about that. Do you have a second?
Oh,
that I
yeah.
Can tell
oh,
you the story?
Yes.
Okay. So we have this giant, I believe it's called an accountant's desk. I think it's a certain type of desk and it's really big. It has a nice large top. And we, my husband and I were driving in the car and somebody had put that out in the trash. They were going to just put it on the side of the road and hope somebody would take it. So as we're driving by, we're about a mile, well, we're about 3/4 of a mile from where we live. And I said, oh, Andy, you've got to pull over. And he said, I don't want to pull over. I said, no, no, they're putting that desk out and our son needs a desk. And so we really need to pull over and pick that up. So he sort of begrudgingly pulls over, you know, he's like, all right, I'll do it. So we pull up in front of this house and we open the back and I have an SUV and we think, okay, I think we can get it in here. And so we started to get it in and it was a little big. So we had to take some things apart. We had to take all the drawers out. And then we filled up his seat and I drove it home and he had to walk home. So not only did he not want to pick it up, but then I filled his spot and then he had to walk home. But we've laughed about that so many times over the years about that. But that desk is lovely and my son really enjoys it.
Wow. Talk about taking one for the team. I love that. That's a great story.
He's exceptional at taking one for the team. I have to give him credit. Credit where credit is due. This only works because he's into it too.
That's amazing. And again, he kind of pushed you to start with a podcast and kind of brought you to this house that you're standing in and you're like, I don't know. And it all started from that, which is quite unique and quite exciting story. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's amazing. Okay, so where does everybody find you, Stacy? We don't want to leave people hanging. We want to be able to send people to the blog, to YouTube, to the podcast. I know we have so many places to send people. What's the best way for somebody to find you so they can get into your community and follow along on the journey?
Okay, well, I have two places I'm going to send you, and from there, they're all interconnected. But the podcast is True Tales from Old Houses, and you can find that at truetalesfromoldhouses.com. And then my blog is Blake Hill House, and that is blakehillhouse.com. And you can find, even if you just do a Google search and you get pretty close to those names, then you'll find me. Google usually shows up both of those. And those two sites are intertwined. So if you're on the podcast site and you want to go read the blog, then you can get there. And if you're on the blog and you want to listen to the podcast, vice versa. The podcast is also available anywhere you enjoy your favorite shows. So you can listen on the website, but it's also available on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and your smart speaker and iHeart Podcast, wherever you like to listen to those. I don't know if you have all those in Canada. I think you certainly have most of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And our audience is around the world as well. So we have people listening in Egypt and China. And so you just never know who's listening to this, which is amazing. And then the YouTube channel as well is probably connected there as well.
Correct.
Because again, the video versions, like I said, they're well done, well filmed. Again, I feel like you have a team hiding off camera that do all this great work with you, but it's you and your daughter and your family. And I love that you are creating such great content for us. And I'm happy to be part of your community. It's really exciting.
It was so nice to be here today, Dave. Thank you for having me and listening to me talk about my house and my content. I almost never get to do that, honestly. It's certainly not on somebody else's podcast. So I appreciate the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun.
Please tell me you'll come back in the future and update us on what's happening and what's coming up next. I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love that. And I just found out sort of recently that you are my Canadian neighbor to the north. So we actually aren't that far apart.
No, we're just outside Buffalo, New York. We're in Canada, just near Niagara Falls. So yeah, we could definitely meet up. We can bring you down some Canadian something or other as a gift, a peace offering, and come and visit. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'd like that too, for sure. We're just separated by a bridge. We could make that work.
There you go. No problem. And I'd love to see this 1885 house and experience some of the history. Again, thank you so much, Stacy, for creating such great content for us and continued support. And we just love what you're doing. Please keep going. Never give up. And you have big fans in Canada. And we really appreciate you. Thank you for making time for us today.
Well, thank you. I've loved every minute of it. I appreciate it.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.
Hey, this is Dave. You're like, what's this music? I thought the podcast was over. Well, it is. This is actually an ad. Oh, you're like, an ad. But this is different. This is for another podcast called, ready? Dad Space. Dad Space is a podcast created for dads by dads. Head over to dadspace.ca for all the information. And we would love, if you know a dad, if you are a dad, if you've ever had a dad, if you know a new dad, a current dad, an empty nest dad, we have a podcast just for dads. And I'd love to share it with you and to share it with a special dad in your life, dadspace.ca. Thank you for listening to the podcast you've already been listening to. But if you want a little bit more podcasting greatness, check out dadspace.ca, dadspace.ca, for all the goodness for your favorite dad. Aww. It's like a Father's Day present every day. We'll see you over at dadspace.ca. Thanks for listening to all of our podcasts, and we'll talk soon. This is Dave, and I'll meet you at dadspace.ca. Cheers. And now we dance.